Let's go to Isaiah 14. Hopefully we just spend one more day on today on debt.
We owe it that.
That was pretty. That was good. Isaiah 14. If we could only have comfort by the scriptures that said the God of Israel, then we wouldn't have any comfort. But the scriptures are clear that it, you remember, Jacob became Israel after he finally confessed who he was. And so the idea that we have come, that Jacob, it's the God of Jacob also that God is in control of. So that means in our, even in our rebellion, he's in control. And just waiting as patiently for that you to come to the end of yourself. And so that's, I just want to say it. In chapter 14, verse 1, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers will be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors." And then for the rest of the chapter, it's the proverb against the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon is the god of this world. And it shall come to pass in the day... Why can't I? Oh. "And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from thy hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked one and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon sing, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth, that hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Now, the next few verses are the five I wills of Satan. And these are critical in understanding human nature. Okay? What?
I'm ready.
Walk away from wrong.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Well, those are the five I wills. Now the one that always hits me in the forehead is I will ascend above the cloud. And remember that that's the whole mystery of the guidance from God. If there is more than one option, you do nothing. Because the cloud is down. Now that seems, that's just irrational. But as I've said many, many times, a believer never has to make a decision. Now this is where the greatest battle will take place in you. Because to not make a decision means to wait. That's the last thing in the universe. Everybody says, oh, waiting is difficult for me. Waiting is difficult for everybody.
I'm special.
Yeah. But, the bottom line is that's the basis. This I will is the basis of the self-image debt. Now, how do we see ourselves? How have we learned to look at ourselves? The five I wills, in my opinion, are the basis of it. I'll be like the Most High. And what is the only definition of being like the Most High is you judge for yourself good and evil, right and wrong. Let's go to James first. James chapter, where is it? I don't remember. Does anybody have any questions about what self-image debt is?
No, but I'm in James.
I'm happy for you.
That probably enhances your self-image to be so
quick. No, I mean, this is kind of endemic to the beast.
Is this the one we moved on to?
Hmm?
Is the self-image debt? Is this the next one we're dealing with?
Yeah. How do you see yourself?
You don't want to.
There are a few issues about us that we see ourselves that is passed on from others, right? But most of how we see ourselves is that we've created. If you see yourself, well, I'm just quiet by nature. No, nobody's quiet by nature. You're quiet because somehow you've been embarrassed in the past and you've shut up. Therefore, it's a self-image debt. What are you doing, Gary?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. When you fall in love, your whole image is based on how the other person sees you and responds. And your whole self-image is, you're a prisoner of that. And my little girlfriend from high school that I never got over was one that did that to me. I invested my entire self-image in what she thought of me. And when she walked away, like, my self-image was just destroyed. And the power of it is massive. And it's not, it happened with anybody that you invest yourself in, just like you. If I let my self-image be controlled by whether or not you say hello to me or any other thing, then I'm in debt that I can't hardly get out of. To me, that's what we're talking about, is that whole not living your life as unto the Lord, but as unto people's responses to you.
As unto your created self-image.
Yeah. And it is probably the most powerful thing I've ever encountered.
It goes deeper than that. It's also your self-worth.
Well, that's part of self-worth is part of self-image. All right, well, let's go on. And we'll go to James. We've talked about this one many times. This is a contrast of being a doer of the word versus a hearer only of the word, right? So in verse 22... Chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. Now this is the one that's a hearer only, right? He is like unto one beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, Jesus Christ, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, first, to set this up right, you've got to understand that the doer of the word didn't do anything. The doer of the word saw. But the hearer of the word looks in it for something to do, and then he gets also. So he's looking in. What does it say? He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, your entire life, all of our entire lives, that's what we've done, no matter whether it's looking in the Bible, or we're looking at possible mates, or we're looking at the sunsets, or we're looking at anything, our reflection of that is, what does this mean to me? How can I use this? Do I need this? In other words, everything in looking and beholding your natural face in a glass, that's wherever you look, that's all you can see. Now, when you're your infamous girlfriend in high school, you looked at her, but you didn't see her. You saw the completion of you in her. And that's why she probably ran like the world, because you would have just simply ate her flesh the rest of her life until there was nothing left. Because you needed her. Because of your own, you couldn't stand the self-image that you had of yourself, which was nothing. And here's somebody that could make that fulfilled. Now, every one of us has done that. Now, the point of it is, it's not that we gain our self-image from someone else. How can I say this? I always have a hard time explaining this.
Just take your time.
What?
Just take your time.
Gather your thoughts.
You understand that perfect freedom is never seeing your natural face in a glass. Because you would never again say, what does this mean to me, or how do I use this, or because you no longer need anything for your own redemption. Do you understand what redemption really means?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but it means The two kinds of issues that these metals, if you will, reveal. The silver reveals your own redemption. So, in other words, how can you somehow benefit you? How can you gain something from it? How can this great work of art move you? Or how can this even music? Or how can it all is a reflection of you, because no matter where you look, you're looking and seeing your natural face in a glass. And the reason you're seeing your natural face in the glass is because that's all that you, with result of the curse, can do is see something in terms of its relationship to you, because that's your own, that's all you can do is try to gain something from whatever it is that you're seeing. Even if it's peace, even if it's, anything. Can you understand that? And then gold is the, in the scriptures, gold is the glory. Gold is the ultimate goal. What's your ultimate goal? Now, both of silver and gold are molten images, because they had to be created in the fires. And so, I know you well enough to know that you had zero self-image of yourself. You were constantly teased. You were constantly kidded. And so that something that could give you redemption, especially somebody that you thought was beautiful, was everything. And that's the reason it's persisted for so long, because you've never lost the real core image of yourself, which is nothingness. And so what I want for you more than anything in the universe is freedom from all of it, so that you never again have those images never again have any power over you. And even the remembrance of them is gone. Does that communicate? Now, each one of us has something like that. I mean, each one of us are different, because the different deals that we've been in are what makes us fit into the body of Christ, if we can be free of the thing that caused it in the first place. Now, others, the others were just as equally stupid. They had an image of their own superiority, and that's just as dumb.
Who are you talking about?
Me. And it's, I was raised, my grandmother, remember, you're a Norwegian, it was everything, and it was racist, and I was her favorite child, and so, of all the cousins, and so everything was, and so it created this idiot self-image.
These are the molten.
Right. Because they're created in the fires of your own need, and the only thing that can melt those molten images is mercy. That's the only fire that's hot enough to melt them. If your self-image is totally negative because of these are all things beyond your control, then it's got to be again. There's some, you have to take the risk of faith to have that image destroyed. It has to be confessed from the deepest regions of your being, so that you can see that the mercy of God will melt that self-image, so you can be free of it. I know Pete's still, you and Pete are alike in that regard.
Yeah.
Not just you, I mean, there's others, but of course, Mr. Bojo had the same self-image as I did, so. But both of us are idiots. But the point of it is, we these things happen beyond our control. They started when we even didn't even probably had an awareness of ourselves. And then they were, but we certainly moved towards emphasizing them. That's why if I couldn't be best in anything I did, I quit it right away. You understand? So that robbed me of joy and everything else, because I had this image that I had to be the best, and if I wasn't the best, then I couldn't. Then I just quit. And so, I mean, it's just stupid stuff.
So that points up how you serve that image.
Sure. If I didn't make straight A's, I remember the first time I made a B, it was like in grade school. It was like the world came to an end. And it's just, I mean, everything about it, I quit tennis. I quit everything that I couldn't be really good at. Well, I quit it. I haven't played it now for 30 years. So, I mean, it's just stupid. But the point of it is, if the opposite side of the coin is still pride, which is bad self-image, it's still a self-image. That's what I'm trying to get to. And God wants us free from it so we no longer behold our natural face in the glass. We look, wherever we look, we see Christ as all and in all. We see the... And we are a partaker of that glorious liberty of the children of God. And that's what's equally available to each one of us. But it costs you your self-image. Now, who would be stupid enough to keep this negative blah, blah self-image? Well, it's the only one you got... That's why the risk of faith is so real. It's the knowledge that Jesus Christ is in me. I need no self-image any longer. When God looks at me, he sees Christ. But in an incredible deal, when God looks at Christ, he sees you. Now that's when that can be apprehended and eaten and known, then the self-images are gone. And then it's tested by 60 jillion ways to see whether it's gone. But any self-image is equal. I mean, that's why the psychobabble is to, well, we're going to improve your self-image. All it does is it hides your negative image, you know, if that's what you come from. And then you blame everything on something else, and so you have a whole sense of entitlement for your whole life. You deserve this.
Here's where, to me, the snake is more subtle than any beast of the field. It's like, because without this type of conversation and that, the subtlety of the beast keeps it hidden from you, and you continue to serve without having a clue.
Oh, of course.
Of your, you know, weirdness.
Yeah, no, you have no idea, because that's the only way this is revealed is the preaching of the cross. That's the power of God. Otherwise, you hide from this kind of... You don't want anybody to question your self-image. My God, that's your life. You'll get really pissed if they do, as we know. So God wants you free. And it's available, like, quickly, if you have the courage of your own belief system. Or if you're sick unto death of everything else, then that's all there's left. But you don't... The issue of this thing about, you know, falling in love, that's just neurotic. Because it is based on some other person fulfilling your need. And so, and that can't work. I don't feel like talking anymore. Probably talked too much already. Huh?
You've said enough.
That's raining.
Anybody have any response to any of this, John?
I've heard you say many times you can't arrive at something blessed by using something that's cursed. And then sort of there's synergy between that concept and man looking at his natural face and the
Amen.
Looking at something cursed, trying to
see something blessed. Yeah, can't do it. But your mind will trick you into thinking you're doing it. But you know, that's why. You know, the test of something isn't how it works in the best case, it's how it works in the worst cases. And so the whole idea of, that's why, you know, the belief in the prosperity gospel, and they can pull up, four or five people that it worked for. Well, that's just, it's how did it work in the worst cases? And the same is true in your life. You can't base your value system on how something has worked for you in the best of cases. How's it worked for you when in the worst of cases? That's what it means. Part of what it means when it keeps saying about expand your tent pegs to the edges of time and space itself and test whether or not the value system or your belief system or your opinions have any merit outside of your little narrow universe. Again, let Copeland go try to preach a prosperity gospel in the Sudan. Can't happen. Well, you must be in the same position, and that's why if you're going to use your mind, use it to bring everything to the end, not hold it off at some ideal or some sweet thought. All righty. Anybody have any other? Jeff, you look like you want to say something.
Well, I just think at times I've been held my self-image has been held hostage by other people's approval or disapproval of what I say or what I do or how I do something.
Well, you are held hostage yourself by concerning yourself with their opinions. You're the one that's holding yourself hostage. What would we do without you, Ronnie?
Ronnie, can we go to the
take a big guy.